Have you ever heard anyone say, I'll never forgive them? Maybe you've said that yourself. I will never forgive them. And those words are often spoken with such venom from the heart. As a Christian, we're meant to be different in the way that we respond when we are hurt. Being a Christian doesn't mean that we'll be better than anyone else, because we'll still be hurt, but we are meant to react differently to the way that the world reacts when it is hurt. We're meant to forgive as God has forgiven us. So who has hurt you? Do you still feel that hurt? And that's okay. Have you forgiven them? Are you working on forgiving them? Forgiveness is a process. You might be partway through that journey, but be encouraged. Keep moving toward forgiveness. Today we look at these words from Jesus, and these words are teaching on forgiveness in Matthew 18. And I want to emphasise right at the beginning, Matthew 18 needs to be read all together, not just in segments. Jesus is spending some time with his disciples, and they asked him, who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And they've been there before. They've asked this kind of question before. They continue to ask this question of Jesus about themselves. Who of us is going to be the greatest? Where are you going to sit us at the banquet table? Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus has answered them before, but this time he took a child and he told them that humility is essential. Humility is essential. That God is always looking out for the little ones, for the ones who are vulnerable, and that we must be very careful not to hinder any of the little ones or the younger ones in their faith in the Lord from growing in terms of spiritual maturity. He recognises that difficulties also arise in adult relationships. And so he's just talked to them about being humble like a child, but in your humility as a child, there will be difficulties in adult relationships. And so then he goes on to give his best advice about handling disputes between brothers, verses 15 to 20. You go to your brother face to face and try to sort it out, and then you might take one or two others along with you in an attempt to bring reconciliation. And then in Matthew 18:18, he says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Seems like a strange verse in the midst of all of what Jesus has been talking about. It seems that Jesus' main concern throughout Matthew 18 is reconciliation. The whole chapter is built around that thought or those themes, that theme of reconciliation. Now, Peter sees the thread of humility and reconciliation, and he understands that forgiveness is vital for that to happen. Forgiveness is the key to that conclusion. Thus, his question about forgiving a brother. How many times, Lord, should I forgive a brother? Seven? Peter understood that humility and forgiveness were essential, but were there limits? Were there limits? Is forgiveness unending, or do we set a limit so that we don't leave ourselves vulnerable and open to continual hurt? And we also determine that we need to challenge them about their ongoing mistreatment of us. So are there limits, Lord, to the level of forgiveness? How many times should we forgive? And so Matthew 18 is all about reconciliation with God and with one another, requiring humility and forgiveness. Now, I don't usually try to waddle off onto my own topic. I usually try to stay within the text, but I want to deviate just slightly for a moment. In our current environment, in our world, in our society, in our culture, anyone in leadership is a free target. In our society, in Australia, around the world, anyone in leadership is a free target. People feel entitled to take their pot shots at those in leadership, government, council, not only those in leadership, but then towards celebrities, to sports stars. It doesn't matter. If somebody's up there somewhere for whatever reason, they're a free target. And often people fail to go to these people, to those in leadership or celebrities, to seek their answers directly, but rather form their opinion on hearsay, third-person information. They spread rumours. I wouldn't advise anybody in taking up any position in leadership in today's environment. You'll be maligned, mistreated, misunderstood, misquoted. And people within the church will misuse scripture to take their pot shots at those in church leadership. So anyone going into leadership, make sure, Kate, make sure that God has called you to it. He'll sustain you through that. But having said all of that, as Christians, we are called to a disposition. It's supposed to be the way we are just naturally as Christians, a disposition of ongoing forgiveness and seeking reconciliation. That's where every one of us is meant to sit. Seeking forgiveness and reconciliation. See, as most of us read these verses in Matthew 18, I think we all miss a vital connection, and I didn't get this connection until this week as I was looking at this passage. I hadn't connected these dots. Peter saw the connection between reconciliation and forgiveness, but I don't believe that he made the connection back to Jesus' statement in Matthew 18:18. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The context here has nothing to do with spiritual warfare. And yet this verse is always quoted when it comes to spiritual warfare. The context of Matthew 18, nothing to do with spiritual warfare. It's all about forgiveness. In other words, Jesus was saying, if you promote forgiveness, then you will be forgiven. But if you retain bitterness, anger, resentment, revenge, then you will suffer the results. Whatever you forbid or whatever you permit will be supported by heaven. There will either be blessing or there will be detrimental consequences. Which leads us directly to Jesus' parable today on the unmerciful servant. Forgive and go on forgiving. Permit forgiveness. Promote it. Foster it. Don't forbid it. Release it. Pursue it. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in the heavenlies. Whatever you bind will be bound in the heavenlies. So who has hurt you? Have you forgiven them? Or are you in the process of forgiving them? And that's okay. Reconciliation requires humility and forgiveness. And so Peter asked the question, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven. And Jesus says, 70 times seven. In other words, he's suggesting to Peter, you don't keep an account, mate. You don't keep a list. This is not about how righteous you might think you are, Peter. About how many times you've forgiven your brother. This isn't about that, Peter. But rather, forgiveness is meant to be normal and ongoing for the believer. And so he tells Peter a story. A king is settling accounts with his servants. A certain fellow has a $1 million debt hanging over his head, a debt that he could never repay. The king demands that the debtor sell all that he has, including himself and his family, his wife, his kids, into slavery, just to begin to pay back the debt. It's not going to pay at all. Falling on his face, the debtor begs, "Master, have patience with me and I'll pay you back." There's no way that he could ever pay this debt back. But he's beyond bargaining, he's grasping at straws, and he tries anyway. And the king, for a moment, lost his mind. He did the outrageous, crazy, reckless, insanely gospel thing. He forgave the entire debt. He let it go. He died to the books and the bookkeeper, and the servant walked away free and clear. Well, the forgiven servant went out, and in his freedom he found a fellow servant who owed him a few bucks, a few dollars. It was mere pocket money compared to what he'd owed the king. And finding this man who owed him, he grabbed him by the throat, growling, "Pay me back what you owe." The man pleaded, using the same words that the servant had used with the king, "Be patient with me and I'll pay you back." The first servant, however, refused to give to his neighbour what he had received. The one who had received outlandish mercy hoarded that within himself instead of lavishing it on others. Forgiveness looks different from the forgiver's side, doesn't it? When you have to forgive, it looks a bit different. And so instead of forgiving, he threw the man into prison. When the word reached the king's ear, he called that scoundrel before him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all of that debt simply because you asked. Shouldn't you have also done likewise? Haven't you got compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" So in blazing anger, the king sent him to the torturers until he could pay all that he owed him. Of course, he could never pay what he owed. And so that man had an eternity of torture, literally hell to pay. And it was all his own fault. He was a free man until he started choking his neighbour, until he would not extend forgiveness. He was a free man until he would not forgive. And Jesus closed his story with these words, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Forgiveness then, as a Christian, is not an option. We tend to look at forgiveness as though I can choose to forgive or not. Well, as a Christian, forgiveness is not an option. If you do not forgive, then God will support your decision and there will be consequences. If you decide that, yes, I will forgive, then there will be blessing. As we tie that back into Matthew 18:18, "Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." When we refuse to forgive as God has forgiven us, we put ourselves in prison, and the king isn't happy. We're not being like Christ, who forgave all people. As Jesus hung on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But according to this parable, it seems that nothing angers God so much as when we refuse to forgive in blazing anger. We throw away our freedom in Jesus, we imprison ourselves, we enslave ourselves away from God, isolated, alone, cut off. when we refuse to forgive as God has forgiven us, we aren't acting like the children, the free children of God that we are in Christ. For we're not seeking reconciliation, but rather we're hanging on to pride and anger and bitterness and resentment and hoping for revenge. We imprison our own hearts. And the forgiveness that Jesus speaks of here is not something that we are to hoard or demand from others, but rather just freely give and keep giving. It releases our hearts into freedom and peace. And we all want that, don't we? We all want freedom and peace. The forgiveness that Jesus talks about releases the demonstration of God's love for us. As we forgive, we are living examples to those around about us, particularly to those that we are forgiving, of just what God has done for us. God's forgiveness of us gives life and energy to our speaking, our living, the way that we do life. It begs to be repeated. Again, is there anyone that you need to ask for their forgiveness? Is there someone you need to forgive? What are the results if we bind forgiveness, if we don't release it, if we forbid it? If we bind and chain forgiveness within ourselves without letting it come out of our mouths, then we fail to demonstrate God's love for us, for those who have hurt us. It hurts us. It fails to demonstrate God's love and forgiveness. And God, just as God has forgiven you, you are to forgive one another. Paul said in Ephesians 4:32, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you." If we loose or permit or promote forgiveness, then this parable of Jesus teaches us that the powerful word of God is powerful. Forgiveness is powerful. Forgiveness releases us from the dire consequences of unforgiveness, whereas failing to forgive the brother or sister who has hurt us binds us and may bind others into a Christless eternity. This is how my Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Now, on the surface, that might sound like your salvation is on the line if you don't forgive. That if we fail to forgive, then we'll spend the rest of eternity in the fires of hell, being tortured. If this were so, then our salvation is dependent upon our good works of forgiveness. And of course it's not. We are saved by grace through faith, and this not from ourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. However, we are encouraged to always seek forgiveness, to forgive those who have hurt us. We are encouraged to seek reconciliation. We're encouraged to be like Christ. And as we forgive, we reveal Christ. You see, unity is at the basis of Jesus' high priestly prayer. And that's already been mentioned this morning. John 17, his high priestly prayer, that he prayed for you and I. Jesus prayed these words, his words in the high priestly prayer for you and for me, that we would be united. Our unity is in our faith in Jesus Christ, but our unity with one another and within the church is brought about through humility and forgiveness. The result is reconciliation. all of Matthew chapter 18. Satan wants to tear us apart as we focus inwardly on ourselves. But Jesus' prayer also tells us why our unity is so important. It is so that the world will believe in him and be saved. This is why, as we read Matthew 18, we see Jesus' emphasis on humility, reconciliation, forgiveness. I invite you to go home and reread this chapter a number of times. Reread the whole chapter. Sit with it and let God speak to you, to lead you. Jesus' words in John 17, "My prayer is for those who will believe in me, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me." This is the whole purpose. God revealing himself, Jesus revealing God's love to us to save us. And our unity speaks of that and shows the world so that they will be saved. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. This is why humility, forgiveness are so, so important. I want to invite the musicians and the singers to come back up. But before we close with our last song, I want us all to take a moment in silent prayer. Ask the Lord, who do I need to forgive? And ask the Lord to help you to do that. Or you might take some time just to sit quietly with God and appreciate God's forgiveness of you. There may not be anyone that you need to forgive right now. But appreciate God and the extent of his forgiveness, his mercy, his grace given to you. And then in a moment we'll close together in song.